Hey, Martin, how you doing today?
Contemplating my navel, I would say.
Well, somebody
not
else...
Not all days, yeah, pardon me to say, not all days are designed for dancing in the streets.
Well, there's somebody who's probably not going to be dancing in the street today. Hot off the press, the governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, took a pot shot at another commentator has had a radio show and a TV show for like ever. And Arnold Schwarzenegger today called Rush Limbaugh a 650-pound gorilla during what they call the dig dialogue. And I don't know what caused that whole kerfuffle and everything that happened, but I thought it was kind of funny until I was looking at some news from Newsweek, and the headline is A Fatter, Sadder America. And there was a massive poll conducted by Gallup Healthways, and they asked people to self-report what their BMI, or body mass index, was. And basically, if your BMI is 30 or more, you're considered obese. And the people that self-reported, so you know, you can assume that they understated it, increased 2% over the past 12 months, from 24.4% to 26.8%. And that means that over 5.5 million more Americans now qualify as obese. I don't know about this qualifying as obese thing, but in addition to the more than 54 million obese Americans estimated by Gallup Healthways when the poll began. So basically, when they started, 54 million obese Americans. A year later, 59.5 million. And Martin, we're not doing a very good job here. I don't. We're just not.
I think it's my fault, truly, because there still are vending machines with chocolate bars and soda pops out there.
Yeah.
It is absolutely my mission to eliminate every one of those.
Yeah.
And I think there's still Krispy Kreme is in business.
Yeah, they are.
All Kentucky Fried Chicken is still in business.
Still thriving. My favorite one's McDonald's.
Yeah, I don't mean to single any one of them out, and they all deserve to stay in business. What they just don't deserve to is serving the stuff they serve.
Yeah. The other part of this survey that was done was, do you consider yourself thriving, struggling, or suffering? And the suffering didn't make much difference, but the struggling went up a couple percent and basically crossed over with the thriving. So basically struggling and thriving, those people said you only had those choices. They were running around 47-48% each. But now we've seen this this uptick in the struggling, which could, part of it could be the environment, you know, the economic environment that we're in, the recession, that sort of stuff. But when you've got 2% of the population, you know, obese more a year later, then that to me is... Not good. So you got bad attitudes, you got bad eating habits, and you got a bad waist.
Well, you know, we already talked about this, but it's worth repeating. A lot of people who are depressed will use food as a pacifier and eat all the more.
Yeah.
You know, we most of us eat for the wrong reasons. You know, we eat when we want to celebrate, and we eat when we want to just numb the pain. You know, some people reach for cigarettes, some for alcohol, but many reach for food.
You've often said that off the air that the hardest addiction, the most the toughest addiction to get over is the addiction to cooked food. And I thought that was actually fascinating. And I think one of the things that we should be doing in the next few weeks is talking about some of these diets and, you know, what can we, you know, be a little more specific in terms of what can we have in the house and put in our mouths that will help to reverse this trend, because, you know, a little bit of planning, I think, could go a long way.
Yes. Well, you know, just a little highlight. One of the most ubiquitous underhanded moves by the American food processing industry has been the use of MSG.
Mm.
You know, monosodium glutamate, and hydrolyzed protein, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, also known as spices, and other ways that they describe and hide it. But the point is this. MSG is a neurotoxin. It's actually, you know, disruptive to about 40% of the population and stimulating to most. And what it does do, it causes you to become addicted to the food you're eating.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It stimulates you to eat more, and the more you eat, the more you want, and the more you want, the more you eat, and it's a vicious circle.
Huh.
So anyway, MSG, it's your best friend, and it's in the use in many, many places in hidden ways. You know, you can say, don't serve me MSG. You know, when I go to my, I don't know what, family gathering, and we go to a Chinese restaurant, and I'm having to eat that horrendous cooked food, I at least ask no MSG.
Right.
Because if I forget, it's like all of a sudden my lips are numb, my tongue is finally kind of fuzzy, and I'm noticing that all of a sudden my thinking is just affected, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason it's all this is because I'm cleaned out. I'm sensitive.
Right. That's the thing. You notice this stuff when you're not around it for a while.
Exactly.
Like a friend of mine, her daughter got her juicing, and now that she's juicing, she's finding she can't eat stuff. And it's not that she can't eat it, it's that she now notices what happens to her body when she does eat this stuff. And before, she was sort of numb to it, would put it all in her mouth and, you know, oh, I feel a little sleepy or whatever, have a nap. And now, because she's been putting all this enzyme-rich stuff in her body is saying, hey, we like this. And then you stick stuff in that the body doesn't like, and it's going like, whoa, dude, quit it, right?
Oh,
what
yeah.
are you doing to me?
Scott,
funny.
we just managed to put out the advertisement for, I don't think I want to get on this healthy food kick. It's just a valley of pain and inconvenience. So I just want to say, well, you know, if you don't, what awaits on the other side is a world of pain.
Yeah.
You know, decline, decay, and all of that. I don't even want to. Maybe I should want to get into describing what it looks like when you're older, obese, diabetic, with ulcers on your legs that won't heal, with sugar highs and lows that make your brain fog so bad that you can't think straight, that you're just essentially living in a kind of a either feeling stoned or really stoned all the time.
Yeah. The thing is ignoring this doesn't make it go away. And we're not doing this because we want to make anyone's life miserable. In fact, part of the problem is that we see the miserable life, and you way more than me, because you're in it every day. We see the impact and the miserable things that happen to people simply because they've had 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years of bad habits, and it's not necessary. And that's part of the reason that we do this call all the time, is because, holy smokes, it's pretty sad.
Right. So hopefully we are getting some new listeners, and we'll get to gain a few converts to eating right.
Yep. So one of the things we're going to do, we've been going through the health education part of the Life Enthusiast Co-op website, and starting today, we're going to be taking on probably the biggest section when it comes to health education, and that's like diets. What do you stick
yes.
in your mouth?
Yeah. And, yeah. Premise number one, are you digging your grave with your teeth?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that is
if you're living in North America or Europe, the answer is yes, if you were wondering.
Well, it's everywhere, truly. You know, like there are sick people because they don't get enough nutrients. There are sick people because they don't have enough calories. They're, you know, I mean, you can be getting scurvy because you don't have vitamin C. You can be getting beriberi because you don't have, I think it's vitamin B, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's just in the back of my brain somewhere. You know, the people in the South that were living mainly on corn were missing a few nutrients, and it's creating particular illnesses.
Right, right.
So we need the right kind of diet, and it doesn't take a lot to do it because it's available, but it's not readily available.
Right. It takes a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
So some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the coming shows are going to be things like the all-raw primal diet. We're going to talk about, meat versus non-meat and different types of blood types and eating programs and then lemon water and zone diets, maker diets, vegan versus meat, bean diets, wheat, all sorts of different things. And we're going to get into it in a fair bit of detail just because we feel it's so important. And a lot of times things that people have happen to them that are they don't realize it's diet related. Like I recently read a book by this woman who polar. Do you know the polar? What's that called?
Yeah, you mean bipolar?
Like bipolar. Yeah.
You mean like manic depressive?
Yep. She was bipolar. Her mom was bipolar. Her mom committed suicide. Her brother was bipolar and suicidal. She was suicidal, and her dad couldn't understand. You know, he loved her mom and was totally faithful, yet she would be accusing him of having affairs and all the rest of it.
Suspicious
mind, all that stuff. And her dad was talking to a friend of theirs, and he said, and he was describing the symptoms of his family, and the guy says, sounds like, and it was some name that they had for pigs. This guy, this friend, was he supplied feed for pigs. And he said, yeah, pigs act like that all the time. And the father says, what? No, exactly what you're talking about. The pigs do it. What? Yeah, what do you do? Oh, it's no problem. We just make a mixture of this, like vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B. I don't know what it was, right, but that sort of thing. And we give it to them, put it in their feed, and they're fine. No big deal, right? Well, bipolar is a friggin' huge deal, right? And so the father then went and with this guy and started making concoctions of, I'll just say vitamin C, B, and E, but I have no idea what it was. And they would try it out, finally hit it. And all of a sudden, the daughter has this experience of not being bipolar anymore, right?
Yes.
And like any normal human being, once something goes away, you forget about it, right? So she got off the diet. She stopped. Like there were certain eating things, certain drinking things, certain vitamins. And between the combination thereof, she was fine. And so she stopped doing all of them. And within like 2 or 3 days, she was bipolar big time, right? Her husband's wondering, oh, my God, what happened to my wife? And the father's like, oh, and she's depressed. And are you taking it? No. Well, I'll get back on. Oh, okay. And then she'd be better again, right? So there was no doubt in any of their minds that the combination of nutrition and supplementation was giving, you know, basically preventing her from being bipolar anymore.
A sidebar. We're going to have to go find this. You cannot just put it up in the air and then not tell people.
I'll find the name of the book, and we'll put it up. We'll let everybody know. But what happened? Because this is a Canadian story. They lived in Alberta. Other people started hearing about it, so they started supplying people. And of course, you know what happens with, you know, Health Canada or the FDA and those people when you start, you know, having results, and they ended up going to court. And at one point, this is the part that got me the most, was there they were in court, and I think the defense lawyer asked one of Health Canada people, because they were stopping it from coming across, like there are certain things you need to bring across the border in order to make it or to get it, and they were stopping them specifically. They had it like, this particular product stop everything from coming across, and they asked the bureaucrats. They said, "So, if something that you didn't approve of was pretty well looks like guaranteed to save someone's life, but you hadn't approved of it, you would not let them have it, even if they'd ended up dying?" And they said, "Yeah, of course we wouldn't let them have it, even if the person was going to die if they didn't get it. Yep, because we haven't approved it." And it was just, I was just like,
oh yeah, I remember this because this is what the bureaucrat says. If it's not in the policy, I cannot approve it.
That's right.
And this is the kind of people that get in jobs, and they don't have an appreciation of anything other than the rule.
And the funny part I remember about this too was that when they asked them the question, of course their lawyer objected, right? So you picture this Perry Mason thing, right? And and the guy's like talking to the government official or whatever, and the government lawyer says, "Objection, Your Honor," and the judge says, "Overruled. I want to know what the answer to this question is," right?
Yes.
He was just like, "I got to know what you guys think too," right? It was so funny. I mean, and tragic at the same time, right? But I mean, I just happen to remember that one thing going, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And I think, we need to keep hammering this message that what you put in your mouth, like you said, are you digging your grave with your teeth? Because so many of us are.
Yes. Yes. Now what?
Now what? Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about diet. So why don't we talk about some of these issues around diet? And when we talk about diet, we're really talking about the totality of what you stick in your mouth, as opposed to like a weight loss diet or something like that.
Well, they're important and they're targeted, right? I mean, weight loss or weight management is important because being out of shape is usually a result of a mismanaged lifestyle. And the word diet itself is awful because, as soon as you go on a diet as opposed to changing your lifestyle, you're in trouble. Because if your lifestyle has created a situation that you find yourself in and you hate it, or you decide that it's changing, going on a 2-week or a 3-week kick, that is usually the diet program, like you change your habits for a little bit, and then you go back to whatever you were doing before, that guaranteed doesn't work. And that's what's wrong with all of this diet industry. All of it. Because if living in a particular way gets you the results that you don't like, you need to change the way you're living, not just do a little quickie fix.
Yeah.
So we're going right back to the society that we live in. My favorite is the war on drugs. We're filling jails with entrepreneurs. Because that's what a drug dealer really is,
Yeah.
Here's a guy who has got nothing better to do, and he's just figured out that there's a market, and he can get in on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an entrepreneur. I mean, illegal, but still. And he wouldn't be in business if there weren't people just clamoring for his goods.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why do people need drugs? They want to change how they feel, right? I mean, you wouldn't be stuffing stuff up your nose or whatever if you didn't want to change the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, food is another one of those drugs. Sugar definitely is. Coffee definitely is. Or caffeine. There we are. We just take these hits to change our state.
Yep.
Hey, you've been to Tony Robbins' seminars, right?
I have, that's right.
State management, yeah?
Very much a state management, and changing states all the time. He'll have everybody up and dancing and yelling and screaming, and then he'll have them crying, and then he'll have them doing something else, and then he'll have them thinking and writing, and just it goes on and on.
And the bottom line of that is that if you can manage your emotional state, you will get the outcomes that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
If you get on this roller coaster of unmanaged mental and emotional states, you're at the mercy of whatever, right? You're like a car with no driver.
Yep, that's right.
And food is has been used as one of those type of tools that we use for state management.
It's a major tool for state management. Come home, you're not happy, you have a beer or you have some chips, or you're rushing home and you're in rush hour traffic and you're feeling a little hungry, you see the Golden Arches, go have a Big Mac.
Yeah. So one is the compulsive eating, where we eat for the wrong reasons. And the other one is, of course, eating the wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So which of these two are we going to focus on first? I guess, well, Life Enthusiast Co-op has been mainly in the business of dealing with the right stuff as opposed to the wrong, right reasons. And one of these days we're probably going to cross over into trying to help people manage their states. For now, I would like to just deal with the what you should eat as opposed to why you should eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a big one. If you find yourself in a hole, first stop digging.
That's right.
Right. So this
don't make it any worse.
Right. So this is where if you find yourself that you're now 40 pounds overweight, let's pull Tony Robbins into this one more time. Tony says, if you want to have something that other people have, you need to emulate their behavior. You need to, I think it's called mapping, right? You map the strategy.
And model.
Then you model, yes, pardon me. You model the strategy and then you follow the model. So
yeah.
if you want to be an overweight person, you get together with other overweight people and do exactly what they do, because that's how you build it. If, on the other hand, you want to be like the other, you know, let's just say the fit, trim, healthy, vigorous, flexible, full of life people, you're going to have to start doing things that they do.
Yeah, and who you hang out with, just to take this to the next step too, makes a huge difference, right? If you're hanging out with people that are going to the bar and partying till 2 in the morning, as social people, we tend to do what the people around us are doing. It's kind of like a bit of a herd mentality, but that's the way it is, and you're exactly right. If you want to be healthy and fit, hang out with people who are healthy and fit. Don't hang out with people that aren't. And the hard part about that is, you know, we look at our families or we look at our friends and we go, oh, you know, if your friends have all got, you know, 80-inch waists, don't think there's any way you're not going to have an 80-inch waist too, because it'll be, oh, try this chocolate or do this or do that or whatever, and you're going to be hanging out with him doing stuff that's not that active, which is one of the requirements to being healthy. And you're going to be eating stuff that you shouldn't be eating. So, you know, look at your environment and is it conducive to the type of lifestyle that you want? And sometimes you've got to make some hard changes and join the fitness club or join a running group or a ski club or, you know, some activity club. That
well, just bird watching will do it, you know. Just get out there every day for half an hour and walk up that hill.
Yeah. But if you don't have someone to do it with you, sometimes that's going to be hard to do. That's my point, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Find someone to bird watch with you. I go to hot yoga, and I'll tell you, I have two buddies that are like, we're going to hot yoga today at 4. Are you going to come? Like, I never say no, right? Like,
well, you cannot, because if you check out and cop out on that relationship, soon enough the calls will stop coming.
Yeah, and well, plus they'll be saying, like, and notice that spare tire is getting a little bit pumped up, Scott. You know, but they know I've made that commitment, right? And so,
yeah.
And they're working with me on that. It's a conscious decision that was made amongst us all, as opposed to the unconscious decisions I think that oftentimes we make, which cause us to have the problems that we have.
Yeah. So visualize this sort of a dynamic. So we have a group of 4 guys, and 2 of them are fit, and 2 of them are not. Right.
Yeah.
And then now we have this dynamic, the emotional seesaw. Who's going to win out? Are we going to play a game of poker and down 6 bags of chips and 2 cases of beer, or are we going to go for a hike on the mountain?
Yeah.
You know, which is it going to be? Who's going to win out? And this happens in many relationships, right? I mean, it could be one-on-one. It could be you know, husband and wife, and the wife's, oh, honey, I'm tired, or let's take a car, or vice versa. I don't know which of the two is going to be the one that's going to be on the lazy side or on the less healthy side or whatever. Then it's the lowest common denominator that will prevail, and it is going to be the emotional strength, you know, the one with the greater commitment that's going to win out.
Yeah.
So if your commitment is stronger towards laziness or, you know, comfort or pain-free, then that's going to win out, but it's going to be a loss in the long run.
Well, and also it's just that knowledge that you're making that decision, right? Because
awareness is important.
If you're not aware, then all of a sudden, like you know him. We have a friend that was a bodybuilder type and very much into fitness and everything else. He had a fiance, and so he would come home from work, and she'd have a 3-course meal, cream sauce, and all the rest of it, and he'd like, oh, drool. And he'd eat, and then after he was eating, she'd say, oh, come and sit by the TV and watch this show with me and cuddle, and he'd be like, you know, his energy is all drained. His stomach is all trying to deal with this garbage in its stomach, right?
Yeah.
He goes sit down with her, and then it's like 10 o'clock, oh, time for bed. And he's going, you know. And he put on a lot of weight. So,
yeah.
And then one day he woke up and he just said, you know, this is wrong. He said, this isn't what I want to do and everything else. And he started going about changing. But it's a very easy thing to get into, right?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when, you know, the other person thinks, oh, I've made this nice dinner for you. And
well, especially, I mean, she was actually probably expressing her love.
Exactly.
You know, it probably was her honoring him, and she wanted to be a great mate and putting up good meals. But good meal, you know, may not necessarily mean healthy.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
you know.
Well, and, you know, to be quite honest, I'm not, like, if you didn't make a salad and give it to me, I wouldn't eat it, right? And it's just, you know, it's just not sorry, you know, I'm human. But the gal that I'm with right now, when she cooks a dinner for me, it's the plate is 3/4 greens, you know, not cooked. And the dressing is off to the side, and I can put a little bit of dressing on if I want or not, right? And if there is, you know, some of it will be cooked, but half of what's cooked, like, so 3/4 of it is like salad, right? The quarter that's left, half of that is a cooked vegetable, right?
Yes.
And
good for you.
A little bit of spice or something like that, and then what's left, I don't think there's usually meat there, but there might be a little bit of meat or something else. And, you know, and because she knows how, and her daughter is very much that way, and her daughter is helping her learn to cook differently, but she knows how important that is to me. So she's making some big changes and stuff. So there's hope.
There's hope, and the company that we were talking about, I went and did some searching around because I wanted to find what that is. And the company actually is called True Hope.
That's right. I found it too.
They're from Alberta, Canada, and I actually found a video too on YouTube.
The book is called "The Astonishing True Story of a Woman Afflicted with Bipolar Disorder and the Miraculous Treatment That Cured Her." And it was published in September 2007. And you, as you can imagine, that is just causing a huge ruckus because we're not allowed to cure anything, right?
Well, first of all, the bipolar industry, the psychiatry, you know, the most fraudulent of all medical branches, sub-branches, right? I mean, absolutely, no question, the most fraudulent, perverted, and the words escape me when I have... for them.
You cannot slam them hard enough. Is that what you're telling us?
It's built on a lie. It's delivered through deception. And it's just so wrong, you would, you know. I mean, all the suffering of people who are on Prozac or who are on, never mind, just one drug, antidepressants and mood changers and social anxiety issues and depression and schizophrenia and all of those crazy things that people have been medicated into stupor with.
Yeah.
When there are natural healing solutions available.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? There are natural solutions available.
There's actually Abraham Hofer, a fellow who formulated the orthomolecular healing for schizophrenia. He just died last week in Victoria, at an advanced age. He was 80-something. But here's a doctor. He started back in the 60s in Saskatchewan, and he figured out that he could heal people and manage their schizophrenia naturally and have them in remission and living normal lives. And yet, he's been fought every step of the way, ostracized, marginalized, every sort of a thing by this industry of lies.
Mm.
You know, the cornucopia of pharmaceutical wins, because once you get a person medicated, they will never stop.
Yeah, it's hard to get them off.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I get so wound up about this. You know, like the high school shootings. Remember the famous Colorado shooting?
Yes. Yeah, that's very sad.
Withdrawals from SSRI reuptake inhibitors. You know, SSRI, serotonin selective reuptake inhibitor. It's messing enough with your brain to the point where you either want to kill yourself or kill yourself by taking out everybody you can think of with you. I mean, the suicides of teenagers just don't end. I mean, the numbers are so huge. And, if any one of you is contemplating these SSRIs, please, please look at some other options.
Give us a call.
Give us a call. It's really hard to get off.
Idea.
It's really hard to get off once you start, mm-hmm. and the withdrawals are just awful. Just ask the guys in Columbine.
Yeah. Well, Martin, I want to just read a little bit about the book for everybody, because whether you're bipolar or not bipolar, I think I've read the book. It's absolutely amazing. Hard in some places to read because it's,
it's so awful, right?
It's so awful, yeah. And then it gets kind of good, oh, thank God she's through this, and then it gets worse. I mean, they should make a movie out of it. A Promise of Hope is by Autumn Stringham. She suffered from bipolar disorder for years, and after the suicides of her grandfather, mother, expected that the disease would also take her life. Then her father found the miracle that saved her. A Promise of Hope is the personal story of Autumn's flight from madness to wellness, all due to the vitamin mineral supplement that works on the premise that many forms of mental illness are caused by nutritional deficiencies. An honest book that exposes the hidden torment of bipolar disorder. It is a story of a daughter seeking to forgive her mother. A Promise of Hope is also an astonishing scientific account that moves from a kitchen table in Alberta to the treatment offices of a distinguished Harvard psychiatrist and into the labs of a skeptical medical establishment. It climaxes with a bitter but eventually triumphant battle with Health Canada, in which the tiny micronutrient treatment company is exonerated and praised for saving the lives of thousands of Canadians previously thought lost to mental illness, and thousands of Americans too, because a lot of Americans got on this program. More than anything, A Promise of Hope is a powerful story and a call for a new understanding of the causes of mental illness and its treatments. And I think you could substitute mental illness with obesity, cancer, heart disease, poor eyesight.
If you find a combination, this is a key, right? I mean, this manic bipolar disorder is triggered by a particular chemical imbalance in the body. Mm-hmm. Which is going to be genetic. There's always a genetic predisposition. But then there's going to be a nutritional imbalance that could be corrected, but isn't.
Yep.
And if once you correct it, the problem goes away. If you don't correct it, you're sick. and you try to chemically control it. And, you know, your body never has a deficiency of aspirin or what's it called, deficiency of Tylenol or deficiency of Prozac. It's not like that.
Right.
It's a nutritional deficiency or toxicity, right? Anyway, go back to your story.
No. Yeah. Well, that's basically what they say, and they've got a few reviews. And I had forgot about this too, but they had, a Harvard PhD professor, top person, looking at this and and supporting it and everything else, and they were going after him like crazy too. And finally, they asked him. They said in court, they said, will this cure? And he said, well, he said, kind of hard to answer that particular question. But if I had bipolar, I'd be on this stuff, right? So,
yeah. And when you look at the list of ingredients, right?
Yeah.
Of the Empower Plus, which is what I'm doing right now, vitamin A, C, D, E, B, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, 12. For instance, vitamin B12 is 4,000% of DV, right, which is the daily value, meaning you have to take 40 times as much as recommended to achieve this sort of balance you require.
Right.
But the other things in there, magnesium, potassium, iodine, zinc, selenium, copper, manganese, chromium, molybdenum. A lot of these things you would find in just basic trace mineral stuff.
Yep.
Just basic trace mineral. And then they have other things, phenylalanine, glutamine, bioflavonoids, grapeseed extract, choline bitartrate, inositol, ginkgo biloba, methionine, germanium, oh wow, boron, vanadium, nickel. Just basic trace minerals. Everything that I've mentioned here, every single thing, is in the Exula Iridescent.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. So I could even make a statement here that if you are on Exula Iridescent, you probably would not need this supplement.
There you go.
Interesting. Very mm-hmm. interesting. And here's another thing. That the True Hope store, they sell a few other things, phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine. Those are the two most obvious ingredients from lecithin, which, again, we both put the lecithin into the superfoods, and we sell the lecithins to stand alone. So instead of having to pay $70 for a bottle of phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine isolated, you just buy the raw ingredient and let your body sort it out. But amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah, it is. And it just goes to show what happens when you get the right nutrients into your body.
Yes.
All right. So we've just begun to scratch the surface
of food.
And nutrients and diets, and we're going to be continuing through that. And if you want to get a little bit of a head start, if you head over to life-enthusiast.com to the health education section, and you'll see nutrition and diets, and those are some of the things we're going to be talking about in more depth as we go through this section. But it's very, very important. It's important that you're not one of the ones that have a BMI of 30 or more, and right now you've got 100 and almost 60 million peers, if you are, in North America. Well, just in the United States, I'm sure there's tens of millions in Canada as well, so say nothing of Europe. So we're going to have to do something about this stuff, and that's our mission for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, for the next rest of my life.
Specifically the mission of the show.
We'll be talking, as I said at the opening, my job is not done as long as there's a chocolate bar factory left standing, as long as there's a soda pop vending machine somewhere in a school, as long as there is a place that serves dead food to semi-dead people. We're not done.
No, that's right, we're not done. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to talk to you at more length about some of these things, some of these topics or some of the specific issues that they have, how can they get a hold of you?
For a full-on rant about nutrition, please contact Martin at 1-866-543-3388. And it's on the website, www.life-enthusiast.com, where you can also find a link to our blog, a link to our podcast, and a link to all of these articles we're quoting and referring to, which is in the section called Health Education.
Perfect.
So here we are. This is Martin for Life Enthusiast Co-op, trying to restore vitality.